Hello everyone, I'm Vince Hollywood Kelvin. You are listening to a podcast in conjunction with the upcoming convention EC20 Decade of Dream, and we are here today with an acclaimed therapist as well as an expert in Tantra, author, so many aspects to her phenomenal career. And right off the bat, congratulations, she just got married. We're here with Catherine Almond. Catherine, congratulations on that recent wedding of yours.
Thank you so much. That's due to our work together, Vince. I want the listeners to know that I hired Vince about, 3.5 years ago. I did individual sessions with Vince for 1.5 years because I had been studying pickup, but I came to Vince because I said, yeah, I can attract tens, but I can't keep them. So I kept working with him week after week after week and, raised my frequency and remembered things I had forgotten. And Vince taught me plenty of new things. And I went out and met a couple hundred guys probably that weren't the one. And then 2 years ago, I met the guy who's on a scale of 1 to 10. I like to say he's a 25. And Vince, through the work with Vince, I was able to craft out a relationship that worked. And 3 months ago, we got married. So thanks for your work with me, Vince.
Amazing. And I think the credit goes to the person who made it happen themselves. I understand you guys teach together, and they're very appealing workshops to individuals and couples because it's about Tantra, correct?
Well, that's right. I had lived in an ashram in India, Osho Ashram, and studied Tantra. So it was a full-time immersion in Tantra and meditation. And so I had this background in Tantra. And when I met my husband, Greg, he'd been studying Tantra for about 5 years. We actually met in a Tantra workshop. We like to say it was love at first touch. And continued to study Tantra together and applied the principles to our relationship. And one of my dreams, talk about a decade of dreams, one of my dreams had always been to have workshops with a partner. So we launched our first full-day workshop called Tantra, the Science of Creating Your Soulmate, which I really like that title because there's a sense that you can create your soulmate. It's not something that just comes out of the blue or it's magic or Disneyland or a romance novel, but there's things you can actually do, just like in pickup. We can prepare ourselves. We can train ourselves. We can become more fully embodied. We can learn better sexual skills, all these kinds of things, so that we can create a soulmate relationship. But then once we're in a relationship, there are certain practices and techniques to be able to maintain that level of relationship. So Greg and I taught our first workshop that was sold out with a waiting list. And we're offering it twice again next year, and we're creating more workshops at the same time. So teaching Tantra, and you and I, Vince, did a video, which is on my YouTube channel, about Tantra and pickup and some of the similarities and so on. Remember when we did that?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you touched on something. I don't know if you were going to add to what you just said right there, Catherine. Were you going to add something? Because I'm ready with my next question, but I want to make sure that.
Go ahead with your next question. Go ahead.
Yeah, so, Catherine, we've noticed that whether it's for men or women, one of the challenges in the past decades, especially for men, would be that they would see a relationship as a point of arrival. So we had a world record of people who suddenly would kind of stop working on themselves because they now had the relationship. And they go in a circle, later on they come back. So there's a strong emphasis now to encourage men to make sure you understand that if you worked on yourself, you know, the same thing. People, when being single, pay more attention to certain things, and then they neglect them when they're in the relationship. So what would you recommend to help those who are in relationships? What are some of the best tips you have to make sure that there's a furthering, starting maybe first at an individual level. What would be the recommendations for a person the moment they are in a relationship? It's what they wanted. It's good. What would you recommend they do?
Well, first of all, on an individual level, and I just want to say, it's really important to continue to work on yourself and your relationship so you don't end up in that dismal statistic of over 50% of relationships fail. So if you've got somebody that's worth saving and a relationship that's worth saving, the first thing, as you said, is the individual work. You've got to keep that up. So many times I'll see couples that come in, they're breaking up. One of them has gotten sloppy, gained weight, not that there's anything wrong with being a larger size, but if it's just due to neglect and you're not happy about it, you're not feeling good about your body, maybe you're just wearing your old sweats around the house, maybe you're not motivated still. You know, when we're single, we go out a lot, we're always looking for things to do, we're looking for things to entice our lovers. This kind of thing needs to keep up. One thing we talk about in marriage and family therapy is even though it can seem unromantic, some couples need to schedule date nights just so that they still keep the romance. Because if you just fall into some sort of fantasy that now you've arrived and you're going to live happily ever after, you're going to wake up out of your trance and find out that that was not a strategy that worked. So if you worked hard on yourself to get a relationship, you want to keep up that rhythm and that pace to keep something that's so valuable. You know, I think there's the two great values in life, a great career and a great relationship that everybody wants. And if you've gotten that great prize, there's work to maintain it like there is with anything else. You also want to keep up with your sex life and not fall into a rut. You know, a lot of people assume that being in a relationship means the sexual attraction is going to go downhill. This is popular opinion in the conventional world. People's sex life goes downhill, number one, when they've been in a relationship for a long time, and number two, because they're older. This is a very conventional way of thinking, and neither of these are necessary. You can, if you are a person who is studying the arts of love, the tantric arts of love, your sex life can continue to improve, I'm assuming, until you're on your deathbed. I heard a 100-year-old woman the other day say she hadn't lost interest in sex, so I'm looking forward to that when I'm 100. So maintaining, staying alive, continuing to refine and add to our skills and to grow and to stay excited with this partner, excited with ourselves in this relationship. We don't have to get bored, but if we are boring, we will get bored. So individually, we're still working out. We're still taking care of our appearance. We're still keeping ourselves intellectually interested in stuff. We're still jamming in our career. We're still improving our sexual arts. All of this would be on the individual level. Then with the partner, we want to continue with our partner. We want to continue to try to clear our communication on a daily basis, because one thing Greg and I have found and one thing we teach is that people assume a certain amount of resentment is necessary in a relationship, or that it's normal to just carry around a certain amount of resentment. And what we do and what we teach is we clear it as soon as we notice it's there. We just had a little talk this morning because we had a little misunderstanding about something and we had to come back and go, hey, that's not clear. Let's just talk it through until it's clear. We both have an agreement that we can bring up whatever we want, so that we can have nothing but a clear channel between us. And that shows up in your sex life, because if you're carrying resentment, you're not going to feel like it. Your partner's not going to feel like it. It's going to be rote or uncreative. So there's many reasons to keep that communication flowing freely.
I think by now you got everybody's attention there. I'm going to toss a couple of questions at you, if that's okay with you, Catherine.
Sure.
And if you don't mind digging a little bit deeper, what do you think is the reason why some may become a little neglectful at a personal standpoint? And I love the fact that you mentioned both relationships and career, because we also witness that oftentimes at the level of employment. For an interview, people will just say about anything and do anything to get the job. And after that, they tend to do a lot less and eventually less and less. Even when we contract people, many people, you know, there's that saying, like, always get a different hairstylist, because after a while they are going to take you for granted. So what are some things to both at a professional and a personal level to avoid, to stay in that frame of an open mind, learning, growing? And side note, but props to you also, you know, for being so open about, like, yeah, you know, you wanted this and you got it. It takes a true awakened person to do that. Many would say, yeah, but now that we made it happen, let's not talk about it to anyone. That's happened to me a lot.
Yeah, right.
Vince, did you see me with my girlfriend? Just pass by. Are we good? But I pass it back to you. So let's dig a little bit deeper to avoid those little neglects initially upon feeling that we've reached what we wanted.
Well, I think there's just this sort of nesting instinct. I mean, it's like, it's really easy to not get dressed during the day and just sort of slob around in your sweatpants or old t-shirts or whatever. And you have to realize that we are in the field of seduction. We need to keep seducing our partner. I don't mean it's any sort of tricks and schemes. I mean, in the sense of being our best selves and making this a relationship that works. I know one thing that motivates me is I do not want to go back out there and be single again. And it was fun. And if I had to do it again, I would make it fun. But it's so lovely to be lived in love. And I think that sort of living in love and having a person who's got your back and doesn't want to leave you, I think there is a tendency to, like, well, I'm loved for who I am, so I can just, show up today in my sweatpants and not even really try. And, you know, this just continues. Once you let go in one area, it just starts going downhill. Same thing with the career. I like to surround myself with people and things that excite me and motivate me to go on. You know, I watch your videos. I try to hang out with only people who are encouraging and people who hold a very high standard for themselves and others. You know, I'm very careful who I follow on Facebook or on social media. And it's only things that are uplifting and encouraging me to be my best self and to continue to move onward and upward. So, you know, this is a good time of year for it, too. And I love how you have this conference at the end of the year, because I always do a process at the end of the year where I review the last year, where I was in terms of what I set out to do for the year. It never goes exactly the way you planned, which is fine. But reviewing what you accomplished and setting it up for the next year, I think it's a great process so that you don't go stale. I'm sure you've heard those motivational things that people who write down their goals are some percentage of much more likely to achieve them. So I like to write down goals for my relationship. You know, I sit down with my partner and say, what do we want to do? Do we want to attend some sort of tantra seminar? Do we want to attend do we want to go on vacation here or there? You know, what do we want to do together? You just have to keep yourself motivated and realize there's that tendency to slack off and allow it sometimes, but not let it become your way of being. There's just so much to learn and so much to expand to, and it always feels good.
And Catherine, there's also that challenge, you know, and then it's very easy to blame the other person of buying into a false frame. Like you're saying, you know, a person can continue to refine their sexual life and experience for a lifetime. I hear from many people that after a while they go, well, you know, she's not doing anything to attract me anymore. I don't think the attraction's going down or on their side and so on. So what can be done there at that level to avoid and improve that?
That's a great question, because the first thing I would do is say the first time we're pointing the finger and blaming the other person, we're in trouble, because we are have to be wondering, what am I doing that my partner's not attracted to me right now? How am I behaving that my partner's not finding me attractive, that my partner's not wanting to make love with me right now? You know, unfortunately, a lot of men have learned poor skills from watching porn all the time. Unfortunately, a lot of women have learned poor skills because in the mainstream sexuality, in conventional sexuality, there's just one thing taught, which isn't really very satisfying. It's just kind of what I call fast food sex. It's just like, get off, and then now what? So what we teach in Tantra, what Greg and I teach in our workshops, is if the communication is clear between the two of you, you want to make love. You want to express that communication physically and sexually. So if you're pointing at the partner and saying, my partner doesn't want to have sex anymore, that is some sort of communication issue between the two people. Why sex isn't seen as something that they want to do right now or at all. A lot of men could, you know, come to one of my workshops and learn how to please women better. I don't want to, insult anybody. It's not anybody's fault, because the kind of information isn't readily available. A lot of women are not really in touch with their sexuality. You know, when you figure a third of women have been sexually abused in some way, that's a lot. So there's ways that men and women also in a relationship, if the sex is shut down, can do some sexual healing, which is very beautiful. It's very intimate, very erotic, and very healing of whatever kind of issues are in their way. So if one person in the relationship isn't feeling sexual anymore, that can be a potential for increased intimacy to work through the issues that are creating that shutdown in the sexuality. It could be a way to actually move forward and have the best sex of your life, instead of just pointing your finger and going, that's the other person's fault. You know, this whole victim culture of other people's fault, that my career isn't better, it's the economy's fault, it's the Republicans' fault, it's the Democrats' fault, it's my partner's fault, it's men's fault, it's women's fault. This is a frame that's a false frame. It's no one else's fault. It's my responsibility to make my life the way I'd like it to be, and that includes seducing my partner and having the best sex possible. Now, I studied a lot about sex. My husband Greg studied a lot about sex before he met me. I mean, it's just become the best, highest sexual manifestor you can, and then you're going to attract that kind of person in return.
Catherine, you really got my curiosity. This is very, very, very rich. So many questions are coming to mind. I'm curious also right there, and I say also, but it's not needed to use that word because we're talking about it right now. It's kind of one of my current studies right now. I bring it all back to what's my part in it. Again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
So what are some recommendations to make sure to not fall in that victim frame, which is often not recognized as so, to blame on the outside? And maybe it's almost like shadow work in a way, like Carl Jung concept of the shadow, where it's we irritate it on the outside because something is bothering us on the inside. So as a therapist, what suggestions do you have to begin to work on that?
To begin to work on blaming other people,
that doesn't take much work right there. The opposite. To become a little mindful and to avoid being in that blame frame of, like you said, you know, you went through quite an extended list of how we can blame and find the fault on the outside, but what good is that for us? Because I also think that this is a big part of something taking place at a more global level, you know, for people to really begin to no longer worry so much about what others are doing or not, but to start to really take care of themselves within and their parts.
Exactly. I think that the main thing to do is that question that you just brought up, which I certainly ask myself as often as I can think of it, is if I catch myself in a victim frame, what's my part? How am I not measuring up to my own standards? If I'm blaming my partner for being grumpy, I'm probably being grumpy. If I'm blaming my partner for not being interested in sex anymore, how am I just not really interested in sex and just sort of going for the fast food aspect of sex? How am I not making it interesting for the two of us? So again, what's my part? What's my part in why my career is not better? What's my part in why my love life isn't the way I want it to be? Maybe if one of the listeners is in a committed relationship and their sex life isn't what they want to be, there's so many options now on the internet or live workshops to just go together and learn more about being intimate, learn about more about intimate touch, learn better sexual skills together. It's just so much. It's so exciting. But in the victim frame, there's nowhere to go other than getting grumpier and grumpier and more dissatisfied. It's really, the victim frame, the time is up. It's over. It doesn't work.
You know, I noticed when you speak about those matters, you speak about them with a lot of ease because you're in possession of solutions already. You're very poised about it. For many, they may become aware of some of the matters we've been talking about, but there's a tendency for those who are not trained or it's not their profession to dramatize a little bit. What recommendation you have to be able, for example, if a person became aware of like, oh, that's me, that's exactly what I've been doing in that relationship. Oh, yeah, that's true. The sex has been a disaster for the past 2 years or something. Right. It would be easy for them to go in circles and start to blame themselves or feel like, you know, every day, I'm sure it's the same for you. I witness people that are well-intended, capable, because it's not something that they're very proficient at. They've never been trained in. They kind of blow it out of proportion a little bit when I'm sure part of your work is to kind of bring things back into, okay, this is what you could do and so on. And I hear it in how you talk about those matters. It's amazing. Just hearing your voice, I could imagine, would be sufficient for people to start to subconsciously feel more grounded and so on. So what recommendations do you have as a therapist to make sure that whatever we face in life, we're dealing with, we discover about ourselves, our relationships, and so on, we avoid blowing things out of proportion.
Yeah, that's great. One of the most frequent things I encounter as a therapist is people who still hold themselves as though making the mistake is a bad thing because, you know, they were punished for making mistakes when they were a kid. And they may have lost a job or lost relationships or whatever from making mistakes. And if they're out doing pickup and somebody doesn't respond to them, they kick themselves and they think, oh, I'm so terrible. And I think one of the most freeing things for people is to banish that idea. Mistakes is how people learn. Mistakes is how we learn. It's how you achieve mastery in anything is, you know, there's all those statistics. I'm sure you've all heard them about Babe Ruth. Not only hit more home runs than anybody in his day, but he also struck out more times than anybody in his day. I'm sure there's a more up-to-date thing. Babe Ruth was way before my time, too. But anyway, there's all those statistics of people who achieve a lot, make a lot of mistakes. And I think getting over that fear of making mistakes and just realizing I'm human, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes. The last 2 years I've been in this sexually dead relationship has been a mistake, but there's always a chance to learn something new. Always a chance. And one of my heroes said that, you know, the reward of making mistakes is you get bigger mistakes, you get bigger problems. And so we're going to be making mistakes and solving problems for the rest of our life if we're going to continue growing. Some people are so afraid of mistakes that they just stop growing. So if you want to be the kind of person who's going to be growing and having, learning more, getting better and better sex and better and more happiness, then more mistakes are going to be involved. You just have to make that choice. It's just like in pickup. I mean, how many times the really great pickup artists, and I know to be able to get a guy as great as my husband, I had to embarrass myself with so many mistakes. Good grief. But I was willing to make more mistakes and get rejected, with quotations around it, more than most people, and that's why I was able to get a certain level of mastery. So we just keep making mistakes and stop judging ourselves for making mistakes and go, you know, this is part of the learning process. It's not horrible. My parents aren't around anymore to spank me. You know, it's just like, this is how I learn.
Mm. I feel an evolution of consciousness taking place, and it just dawned on me that evolution of consciousness is not only to be approached as if it's, okay, consciousness and our sense of consciousness is going to evolve as we go through time, but it can also arise as we are talking. So with your answers, I'm kind of thinking about how it impacts in even the bigger picture. So we're about to enter another decade, and what would be a balanced, intelligent mindset to enter a new decade, Catherine?
Well, I would like to...
What do you foresee in the decade also?
Well, I think it's the number of two, which is the number of partnership. So I think that with the Me Too movement changing everything, I think men and women are coming together in ways that were never possible before. I think there's an honoring of each other. I think there's a return to a sense of that it's good to be in relationship versus, I think, for a couple decades we've had the idea that it's kind of better to be single and alone because relationships suck and hold you back. I think that's changing. I think we're on the cusp of that changing, that people are starting to realize that you can actually go further with a it's possible to go further in a relationship than it is single. So I think that number two is a sign of good things. I think it's important to enter this new decade with a sense of freshness and to set goals, like I said, to stop criticizing ourselves for wanting a lot and going for it and being willing to take the knocks that it takes to get there. If you want a lot, you're going to have to pay a lot. And a lot of what we pay is making mistakes, embarrassing ourselves. I wrote this chapter in one of my books called It's Just One Humiliating Thing After Another, because I find that spiritual and personal growth is just one humiliating thing after another. You just keep making mistakes, embarrassing yourself, and then you get somewhere. You know, you get wisdom from that. So I think entering the new decade, we can let ourselves make mistakes and with a fresh start, go for what we want.
Beautiful. I know we're a little bit beyond the time that I suggested to you earlier, and you bring so much richness, Catherine, very rapidly. First, if you're listening to this, we are all gathering. It's an elite event. That means that we're certainly not forcing anyone, because we're taking only 30 people in person, and we're getting very close to that. And you could also get the recording and have the adventure from home. But all changes start with the true core decision and desire to change. So if it appeals to you, or if you're curious, click on the link. But if you want to make it, it's got to appeal to you strong. There's a link provided with this podcast where you can see the entire lineup and find out how you can come and join me and all my spectacular colleagues. And Catherine will be there to enter the new decade in a whole new way and create a dynamic like never before. And I would like also, Catherine, if you have one link maybe you can recommend for anybody that wants to look into your work. I know many of the guys have been coming to the Tantric Workshop. That's a big, big, big part of what we do. I would urge everybody to study Tantra. So what link would you recommend?
My main website will direct everybody everywhere to all the things I'm doing. So it's my name, CatherineAuman.com, CatherineAuman.com.
Well, I thank you, Catherine, for... go ahead. I'm so sorry.
I was just going to say, connect with me on Facebook or YouTube as well.
Okay. And I thank you, Catherine. Maybe if you can send me the link, so to simplify, if anybody didn't write it down, you'll find it in the description as well. And in the meantime, thank you, Catherine, for the time, the brilliance, the and again, congratulations. Beautiful. Hmm. And I thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks so much, Vince. It's always a pleasure.
Always.